This is the PMB Elections Committee, regular meeting of August 27th, 2007. This is Terry Goodman serving as chair. I'll take the roll now. Teresa Allen.
Here.
Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Lydia Scott.
Here.
Jane Gatewood has notified us of her expected absence. Terry Goodman is here. Ambrose Lane is absent. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Henry Knorr has notified us of an expected absence. Rosalinda Palacios is absent. Sandra Rawline is absent. Serene Roberts.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Jack Van Aken.
Present.
LeBarn Williams.
Present.
Carol. Maybe it was Carol that notified us instead of Jane. But both are absent.
It was Carol.
Okay. If there is no...
Casey Peters,
the National Election Supervisor, is on the call as a guest, as is Art Dazny of the Technical Advisory Work Group.
Bravo.
If there is no objection, I will appoint Deb Shafto as secretary of the meeting. Hearing no objection, she will serve as secretary. And we have a regular order of business. And at this point, it is time to amend and approve the agenda. There are two time-sensitive items that have been brought forward. And so we need to decide if those are going under new business or to be rescheduled. One of them was in the proposed agenda that I sent out, and the other was mentioned by Carolyn Burden after that. Carolyn, what would we call your agenda item?
Well, the first one was the membership issues that came up last night that I had mailed to the list, and I wanted to expand the discussion after the report on D from 10 minutes to 30 minutes. I don't know if that's the appropriate place, however.
Might well be. Okay, so this is on the general membership list rather than the staff list.
Well, it was membership lists, and
yeah.
Last night the discussion was on both, I believe.
Yeah, but last night's meeting was actually the staff list.
Yeah, well, this pertains to both, actually, so perhaps we can split it. And what staff list can be expanded, and then we can do the membership, regular membership items later.
Okay, so staff list, you would like expanded to 10 minutes?
Well, I
want
to expand
15?
D to 30, but in addition to the 10 minutes that the reporter wanted, I would say another at least 15 minutes.
Well, the reporter didn't indicate 10. I just put it in.
Oh, you did. Uh-huh. Well, I would
so 30 for staff list. Is there an objection to that change to the agenda on 5B?
4D, perhaps? 4D.
I don't have a 4D. Do I have
I'm
the right?
I'm sorry. Oh, it is 5. 5 is there. 2 5s down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The first 5D, the second 5 then is unfinished business. That's different.
Yeah. And 5D. 5D. Ms. Roberts, do you think you'll need more than 5 minutes for the report section of that item?
No, considerably less. But I would like to actually raise an objection to extending that session, the previous section, the previous one discussed, to 30 minutes. I'm hoping that we can be off the call by, you know, our time at the very latest.
Would you like to offer a compromise time?
What's currently on the agenda? What did you put in as your suggestion? 5?
I think I started at
10
and it was expanded to 30.
Someone may need to do #6 or *6 rather to mute your phone if your background's very noisy.
That didn't work.
That wasn't it. Oh, that wasn't you. If we can make it 20 minutes at the most, I mean.
Okay. Substitute amendment to the agenda to make the staff list report 20 minutes has been offered. Is there an objection to this change?
We always have the option of extending, I assume, so no objection.
Okay, it's down to 20. Does that cover your new item?
I'm sorry, but somebody has a very noisy background. Could you please mute if you're in a public space? Thank you.
Okay, does this item leave enough time for your items, Ms. Bird?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Could you repeat that, Terry?
Does expanding the staff list item time from 10 minutes to 20 minutes and noting in there that you will have an item for discussion adequately address your changes to the agenda?
I think it's going to take more, but if we split it and used 5D for staff list issues and then under new business add the membership list issues,
okay,
that would be enough, maybe 10 or 15 minutes there.
Okay, so that's also adding an item under new business as B, 6B. And that will be membership list issues?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, and you mentioned an attempt to try to get local election supervisors to join the call. Any report on that so that we may need to adjust the agenda for?
Dale said he could not be on, and I'm glad to hear Casey was on. I don't know if he still is, but we need someone. Some of the issues will have to be addressed by the supervisors, but Dale said he could not be on this
year. Yeah, but Casey being here ought to handle it. Okay, also changes to the agenda I would like to add. We have two sets of minutes, so on review and approval of minutes, we'll add the minutes of 6:17:07. And I neglected under work groups to have the technical advisory committee, which may have something short to report. So let me put that in under 4F.
And Terry, this is LaVarne.
Yes.
I guess we can go back to the technology follow-up. I think
yes.
Casey in our conversation before the meeting came online, Casey can report on that, and we're going to transfer that to Casey. He couldn't hear very clearly, but he clearly is working on that, so why don't we transfer that to Casey on the technology.
We'll deal with that when the agenda item comes up in 5A.
Okay.
Right now we're doing the agenda. Any other changes to the agenda?
Well, that was the change that I was indicating from Williams to Casey, but okay, we can address it when it gets there.
I'm sorry, did you say 5F? Because I only have under 5, A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Did I miss
one? Do I have two 5s? Let me see. Yes, I do have two 5s. That'll make it. That's curious. Okay, yes. The first 5 is 5. The second 5, unfinished business, is now 6. New business is 7. 5F, I've added technology work group, which might have no report or might have a short report.
I have 5. Oh, I see. F is there. Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'd like to propose to move up the point that you, Terry, added to the agenda about the language of the bylaws amendment concerning election timetables. And
where would you propose that go?
I would propose to put that, because it is very time sensitive, to put that between 3 and 4. So it would be the new 4.
Okay. Is there any objection to this change? Okay, so that is the prior item that was under new business as A. So 6A being moved between 3 and 4 as a new 4.
Could we label that 3-2? I mean, make 3-1 and 3-2 instead of renumbering everything?
Okay, let's
just
make it
call
3,
special report 3-1.
Let's make it 3-D.
3-D, okay.
And
thank you.
Terry, one more general point, sort of an overall amendment.
Yes.
I'd like to propose that the times listed here be whatever is the parliamentary term, that they are the official times that we're saying, and then, there would have to be a vote to extend that would require 2/3, and the same for the ending time of the meeting, just because it is a work night.
Yeah, I needed to research that.
It's happened on many, many committees of the PNB.
Okay, because I don't know how the rule of not being able to limit debate works on committees when there are set times.
No, it doesn't limit any debate. It just says the time on tonight's agenda for whatever the topic is will expire. And then the motion doesn't have to be voted on. It can then be continued to the next meeting. So that doesn't conflict with the Roberts rules on committee procedure.
And, that's not 6A. That's
no, I would kind
A.
of object to that in general principles, but I may be alone.
7A, I put 20 minutes. So that's 20 minutes in as the new 3D. Okay, so Mr. Letter is proposing that the times indicated on the agenda be in effect, be binding, that the agenda be adopted with these times, and there is an objection. So let's take a quick...
Can I just say one sentence about why it's important?
Yeah.
Okay, it's just that for... those of us, particularly on the East Coast, who have to get up early and go to work tomorrow, that I've seen a very pronounced tendency in the last few years that when there's not binding times, that people, always have more to say on every topic, and the meeting goes later and later, and it becomes a process of attrition, that those who don't have to go to work the next day or have, or do other things early in the morning are able to have endurance, and it kind of skews the meeting against those that have commitments, and they have to drop off the call, and it becomes kind of an unrepresentative committee at that point.
Yeah, the chair will offer that it also favors West Coast representatives on every committee. Ms. Burden, would you like to speak against the proposal?
Well, yes, I would, just because it sometimes is a way of cutting off debate.
We can hear you.
I can't hear me, even if inadvertently. So I would like us to use our common sense and common courtesy and move items along as we need them. But I will accede to the majority opinion on this.
Okay. Ms. Shafto, are you prepared to call votes,
yes,
or should would you like me to?
I have a list of people here, but I... I don't have a setup, a checkoff thing, but we can do. I can fill it in later as long as I get the votes.
Okay. So, would you call the roll on the proposal to make the times on the agenda binding?
Okay. Teresa.
I'm going to pass.
Carolyn.
No.
Lydia.
Yes.
Mike.
Oh, I'm
Mike. Is there a Mike on the call, or did I miss somebody?
No, Mike Martin may be a substitute.
No.
No, there's no Mike
here.
Martin on this committee.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Bob?
Yes.
Rosalind is absent. Sandra? Serene?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Laverne?
No.
Myself? No. And is there anybody else I didn't call?
The chair abstains.
Okay. Back to Teresa.
Teresa says no.
Okay, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, no. 1, 2, 3, 4, yes. It fails.
Okay. The times on the agenda are not binding, but they are a general guide to the work of the committee. And Mr. Lederer, can you serve as timekeeper and tell us when those times have arrived and when to keep with the intent of the approved agenda? We should wrap it up.
Okay.
Any more changes to the agenda? Any objections to approving the agenda as amended? That is in our agenda. Next on the agenda is review and approval of minutes. Mr. Norr sent out minutes of an older meeting, June 17th, 07. I've noticed a couple places that need correction. Is there someone else who wishes to be recognized first? On those minutes in item 3C, Mr. Norr, are you on the call? Oh, he's not. So we may not be able to fix it because I couldn't figure out what it's supposed to be. I'll point it out to other members in case they can, they know if they can bring it up.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Point of information, if the secretary's not here, if you would propose something that would articulate without any confusion as to what happened, wouldn't that be sufficient if we will pass that without objection?
Well, we could probably figure it out if enough members have the minutes before them. I'll ask members to speak if they do have the minutes before them.
No.
Okay, if members do not have the minutes of June 17th before them, the chair proposes that we postpone approval of these minutes. Is there any objection to the postponement? Hearing no objection, the approval of those minutes are postponed.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Teresa Allen. If I leave, it's because I'm at a party and we're going to have a toast to Mr. Gonzalez leaving. So I'm the one with the noise in the background, so I beg your indulgence.
Very good.
Okay. The other minutes that are ready for approval were from July 23rd, 2007.
This is Laverne.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the change I think I sent on how the secretary chose to with my
name. Ms. Williams is moving to strike the parenthetical after her name.
Thank you.
In the attendance section.
Yes. Well, that's not in the attendance section. It is. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, strike the little.
Is there any objection to striking the words "left sometime prior to 9:45 p.m. return sometime prior to 10:20 p.m."?
Hearing no objection,
we'll go ahead and strike those from the draft. If I can get my cursor to work. Okay, good. And I didn't see anything else that needs change. Chair will entertain a motion from someone else to draft minutes of Monday,
July. I move that we approve the minutes July, was it 16th?
July 23rd.
July 23rd.
As amended.
As amended.
there any objection to approval of these minutes? Hearing no objection, the minutes of the last regular meeting are approved. Now we go to agenda item 3, special reports. First on that is a report from the elections supervisor, who is on a train, so might occasionally be unavailable. We've allotted 10 minutes to that agenda item. Mr. Peters, are you here to report?
This is LaVarne.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Until Casey perhaps can come on, maybe we can just speak briefly to the issue where Casey released, in fact, I'm looking for it now, released the position on candidate eligibility as far as term limits, where the initial...
I know what you mean.
Well, briefly, in fact, someone else probably, I'm trying to do more than one thing, but briefly, there was a information sent, I believe, to the election supervisor by our attorney, Dan Siegel, stating that those who have served 4 years and it's up, and those people who are up for re-election are not eligible to run, and effectively putting in a four-year term limit. And Casey recently, I think Friday, sent out a directive that we would abide by the bylaws and the term limits for all would be 6 years. And so, therefore, those who served the initial short term of a year or less would be eligible to run for election again during this election.
Yes. If I may recharacterize it a little differently, there was an opinion by Foundation Council that those who had served two terms would not be eligible to run for re-election in this election, and several of those affected delegates appealed that decision, pointing out the bylaw specification of a six-year term limit as opposed to two terms, and the National Election Supervisor made a ruling in favor of the challengers. So those delegates initially thought to be affected by the council's opinion will be allowed to run. The discussion back and forth on that question is what led to closer examination of the proposed bylaws amendment, and that's the way that the changing of term limits might affect those particular delegates. Is what pointed out possible ambiguity in that language, and that's why it's on today's agenda. I presume Mr. Peters will announce when he rejoins the call, so let's be prepared to go back to this agenda item if he manages to return, and go ahead with agenda item 3B, an update from director members on any PMB motions relevant to the committee's work. Is there a director who wishes to be recognized?
I'm sorry, Terry. I had to. can't even say that now. But anyway, I was listening, but I had my phone on mute. Just briefly, I'm sorry to go back to the other topic. You had said that something about two terms. That's the first time I heard that. Term limit was ever described as limited to two terms. So you're saying that 9 month period, the first election year, that was described as that was like defined as a term.
Well, actually, there were two. I can think of two reasons that may have justified council's initial opinion, an interpretation that the bylaws limited delegates to two terms, or a recognition that the delegates who had been twice elected would not be able to complete the terms that they were about to run for, and that might have been a justification for ruling them ineligible. But in any case, the election supervisor has ruled otherwise. And so,
right. Well, he initially ruled had a ruling, then he ruled the last ruling was succinct and basically restated the bylaws, which is very good, and certainly appreciate Casey for stepping up and working with the various parties to make that clear and make all of us who are considering running again, because if we had that short 9-month period in order to populate the PNB, and then we ran for a 3-year term, we'll certainly consider running now that that's been clarified. But thank you.
You're welcome. Is there more
again.
Discussion of this?
Sorry, that's my dog. Ms. Coco.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May we just go to the other reports until the election supervisor returns?
Yes. Is there any director who wishes to be recognized to update the committee on PNB motions relevant to the committee's work?
Lydia, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Can you give the update on the motion concerning the hours of the National Election Supervisor?
Oh, okay. Yes, there was a motion brought by me to cover the hours from 60, I don't have it before, is it 60 to 120 hours? Because our bylaws are clearly short-sighted, and the arrangements we've made with election supervisors always was based on far fewer hours than they actually spend. And so we corrected that, and so Casey will be now paid for at least most of his hours.
This is Bob.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just found it. It's to increase the hours from 120 per what is that, per month?
It's not per week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, from 120 per month to 160 per month. That's what passed the PNB last Friday night. Okay, and then the other thing of relevance to this committee is the set.
Are we going to vote on that?
No, that passed the PNB last Friday.
All right, thank you.
Then the other issue, which we'll actually get to in the substance of in just in a minute, is the vote on the bylaws amendments. The three bylaws amendments has been scheduled for Friday by the PNB for Friday, September 7th. And then all LSBs have been put on notice that they should convene delegate assemblies during the month of September to vote on those three amendments.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Go ahead.
I feel fairly confident that the bylaws amendment will pass in a KPFT, but I'm wondering if other members of this committee have talked to their other board members on the local station boards to see whether people are clear on it and are enthused about passing it. And I'm wondering if people have a feel for the national board also. They can make a comment on that, because I would hate for something to slip through the crack, like some board to forget to put it on the agenda and not, by some technical issue, have this not passed or not even considered.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead.
Yes, at KPFK, we have definitely put it on the agenda. We had briefly discussed it early on during one of our PMB reports, et cetera, and we reiterated it recently again at the last LSB meeting and last Saturday even when we had our executive session to stress the need for attendance and participation for that vote. I think it's not wise my personal opinion, I am not going to try to project what the LSB is leaning toward, because we haven't taken any kind of a vote or had enough of a substantive discussion to do that, and I wouldn't want to prejudice the vote by issuing any projections. I think it'll be a healthy discussion. I can only speak for myself, so obviously I'm one of the sponsors of it, so I do favor it.
This is Jack.
Go ahead.
I started noticing the meeting with the body of delegates meeting included in the notice, and I went to put a link to the bylaws amendment, and the Pacifica.org link is broken. I sent an email to the webmaster. I suppose I should be confident in getting a response sometime in a timely fashion, but if I don't, I guess I'll be sending notice out without a link to the bylaws amendment unless somebody can tell me where I should. It would be sort of,
yes.
I don't know.
Do you want to call
I wouldn't feel great
There's
about
an alternate.
What's the alternate?
Well, the original is on pacificafoundation.org, not
Pacifica. I don't know. I couldn't find it.
But there is an alternate link on the main page of pacificana.org.
Pacificana?
Yeah.
What's Pacificana?
Who's that? That's a private site.
The private site?
Yeah. But
okay.
It is.
How is that useful?
I think it would be awfully nice if you could get it easily on the Pacifica.org site. I don't know. I don't know what to do besides jump up and down and scream.
Yeah, this is Teresa, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I have two phone numbers where the webmaster could be reached, and you could get an immediate response as to whether or not he would fix that.
Would you send that to both myself and Mr. Van Aken via email rather than?
So send it to you, and do I have the email of Mr. Bennett?
Mr. Van Aken?
Oh, Van Aken.
Well,
okay.
And
okay.
Teresa, or you could send it to me. We all kind of want it. So if you send it to me, I can make sure that Jack gets it.
Okay. I'll do that.
Bob?
Go ahead, Mr. Lederer.
Yeah. While we're on the phone, I just found it. It is perfectly fine up on the conversation.org site. It's a little hard to find, but I can post to the committee the specific link, the specific page.
Very good. Any more discussion on the PMB actions? And I think I'm about to bring that page up. Yes. www.pacificafoundation.org/PNB/WHOLE-PNB, whole PNB. And it's on that page. But go ahead, Mr. Lederer, and send that link out.
Okay.
If there's no more discussion, we can proceed to committee reports. Item 3C is the committee report to the PMB. The chair would like to apologize for not having that report ready in time for committee review, but a written report summarizing the committee's actions was distributed. It was delivered to Ben Garcia at the LAPMB meeting Saturday morning and presumably distributed to the PMB members. At that meeting, Director Lederer gave an oral report supplementing that written report and covering basically the same material. Any questions regarding the last committee report to the PMB, which was distributed to members of the committee? Probably that Saturday, maybe the Friday before. Okay, then we can proceed to item 3D, which was the time-sensitive item. I believe that was previously 7A, on recommending subsidiary amendment to the language of a proposed bylaws amendment previously noticed. This is my item. And it pretty much explains itself in the preamble. So why don't I just read the motion I'm proposing and then open it up to discussion. Whereas amendments have been proposed to Article 4, Section 8 of the Pacifica bylaws that, if approved by the membership in November 2007, could allow an interpretation that delegates elected by the membership in that same election are disqualified for violation of new term limits, And whereas the amendment currently proposed for Article 4, Section 7 of the Pacifica bylaws specifies seated in 2008 in reference to the delegates to be seated in December 2007, says that term limits are to take effect immediately and allows an interpretation that newly elected delegates may be subject to the new term limits in a manner that would immediately disqualify them from seating. And whereas the rules of order allow subsidiary amendments to proposed bylaws amendments where the change in text is within the scope of the original notice, be it resolved that the PNB Elections Committee recommends that each Assembly of Delegates and the Pacifica National Board in their September 2007 meetings replace the proposed language for amendment of the bylaws section on the transition election to remove such ambiguities as follows. So this is a replacement to the proposed new Article 7, Article 4, Section 7 on transition election. If bylaws amendments establishing four-year terms are approved by the membership, they shall take effect immediately for those delegates elected for seating in December 2007. And the previous bylaws term limits of no more than two consecutive three-year terms or six consecutive years shall no longer apply. The terms of the delegates elected for seating in December 2006 shall remain three-year terms. If any term limits are approved by the membership in 2007, those term limits shall be applied at the next delegate election in 2009. If no consecutive terms are approved by the members, then delegates elected for seating in December 2006 will not be eligible for re-election in 2009, and delegates elected for seating in December 2007 will not be eligible for re-election in 2011. If maximum two consecutive terms are approved by the members, then delegates who were first elected for seating in December 2006 will be eligible for re-election in 2009. However, delegates who were first elected in February 2004 and re-elected for a second term in 2006, and delegates who were elected for seating in December 2004, whether or not they had previously been elected for nine-month terms in February 2004, and then and re-elected for a second term for seating in December 2007, will not be eligible for re-election to a third term in 2011.
Teresa, you need to mute. I'm loving it, but please.
That didn't work, I don't think. If no term limits are approved by the voters, then delegates elected for seating in December 2006 and December 2007 will be eligible for re-election in perpetuity. In the case of a delegate seated to complete a term vacated by a departed delegate, service of 2 years or more shall be considered a term. Service of less than 2 years shall not be considered a term. Be it further resolved that upon approval of this motion, the committee chair, with the assistance of the director members of the committee, shall seek endorsement of the subsidiary amendment from the seven directors who proposed the amendment for which revision is sought, and shall then communicate to the chairs of the Assemblies of Delegates and the Pacifica National Board the recommendation of this committee and the endorsements, if any, received from the proposing directors. Before I turn it over to discussion, I will point out two things on this. One, the proposed amendment that this is substituting for had mention of associate station representatives. Because that language is thought to more appropriately belong in the section regarding associate members, which section was not mentioned in the notice of these amendments, that change is deferred. The other thing that you need to know is that the bylaws as they stand set a 6-year term limit, and the election supervisor ruling indicates that those delegates being elected for their third term would time out after 2 years and 3 months. this language would give them a full four-year term, which is somewhat unfair if membership suggests or votes to have no consecutive terms. If the membership approves two consecutive four-year terms,
this will
limit those delegates to the 8 years of continuous service that are proposed, in effect counting their first 1 year and their second 3 years as combining to a single four-year term. I expect we need a discussion stack. And Ms. Shafto is here. Ms. Shafto may be muted. So who would like to be on the discussion stack?
Jack, please.
Okay, anyone else following Jack? Go ahead, Mr. Ben Aiken.
Okay, so the problem that I see is that if the electorate votes for no consecutive terms, and then the end result of this amendment is to simultaneously allow some delegates to serve, I count, 8 years consecutively. It pretty egregiously violates the intent of the electorate as far as the term limit goes, and therefore I think it's a bad idea.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, and I also think that a rule of thumb, if any of these things get challenged in court, should they, that people are going to look at electoral norms. And, for example, when in the world term limits have been imposed, like let's take the state legislature, it does apply to the immediate term. Now, the fact that that would result in a unique situation in our case is also what may have been avoided if counsel's opinion had been applied. I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just saying we have to look at it in those terms. And so for that, for example, in the state legislature, people were already into their term. And when that term was up, because term limits were imposed in the state of California, they couldn't run again. So to prolong the term, which is always considered a negative in terms of self-perpetuation of one's own term, and is always frowned upon, I think, in legal circles. But then I also want to say that I feel very strongly about what Jack has said. If we are just so blatantly at odds with whatever the electorate would choose at that point, there's a problem. Now, the other thing is notice. We have noticed the current bylaws amendment for 2 months. It's one thing to do a minor clarification, to correct grammar and so forth, which we've passed motions at the PNB to allow for that. But to go beyond it to the degree that this current amendment that Terry just read proposes does not then give the 2 month notice to the full membership on air notice and on our websites, etc., that is required, and therefore I would not support it.
Is there another who wishes to first, did Casey rejoin the call? Okay, is there someone else who wishes to be recognized?
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa.
Go ahead, Ms. Allen.
I would like to get your opinion, since this is your resolution. I'd like to get your opinion on what Lydia Brazon just said.
Okay. I would have preferred if we had managed to work the language of this so that the individuals being elected for a third time would time out at 6 years, as under the ruling of the National Election Supervisor. On the notice issue, I believe that this amendment would be in order because it is within the scope of the notice that was posted. And I've sent out to various people the specific bylaw sections that allow a change to a proposed amendment if it is within the scope of the notice. The reason that I think having this be the language approved by delegates rather than the PMB is, as stated in the whereas section, there are ambiguities in the language as proposed that would, because it takes effect immediately, this change to the bylaws will happen as soon as the required number of votes from all the station areas have been tallied and approval, if it is arrived at, is recorded. So these changes will take effect before delegates are seated. And there is a very real possibility that under the language adopted, some delegates who were just elected will then be disqualified because of the language for term limits. They would be doing their third term.
May I ask another question?
Yes.
You are supporting the concept that 6 years total is the maximum term? Is that right?
That's not in the amendment.
That's not a what?
That's not before us.
Okay.
Because I couldn't figure out a way to modify this language to easily put that in. That's the current ruling of the National Election Supervisor, which might hold and might not. If endorsed by the PMB, it ought to work. And we ought to be able to get those delegates in that category to step down and then be replaced according to the way the bylaws say.
Thank you.
I realize it's terribly complex, but it's complex because it considers every situation and tries to say how it will be handled. The flaw that Ms. Berzon pointed out and that I did when I read it is that it gives those individuals who are currently expected to time out on their six-year service after 1 year and 9 months, it gives them a full four-year term. And that is a serious flaw.
Well, Mr. Chair, I have to say that I don't have it in front of me, and I can't get it in front of me. It's difficult for me to vote on this at the time, but I would like to hear more opinions from other people.
This is Bob.
Please go ahead.
Okay, I share a lot of the concerns that Jack and Lydia have raised about the implications of Terry's amendment and Terry's rewording as it is here. And I think that has to be looked at really carefully because, as he just said, this is extremely complicated. And there's also the issue which is difficult about what is within the scope of what's already been noticed and what goes beyond it. And in addition, to complicate life further, an LSB member from KPFA has written an email which Henry Knorr posted to our committee tonight, giving what this person thinks are some problems with the way that the term limit options are posed. And I'm not saying that I agree with them or not, but that's another set of kind of complicated issues. So I think what I'm going to suggest is that rather than try to vote on something this complicated tonight, and also that raises issues of what is the correct interpretation of the bylaws and of the amendment process, I think we need our Foundation Council to weigh in on this. So I'm going to propose that we just have a very short-term, because this all has to be settled by a week from Friday, a short-term ad hoc working group, preferably, hopefully, with the involvement of counsel, or if not, with, you know, consultation with him before whatever conference call, just to hash all this out and come up with a proposal. Because I do think there are elements of what Terry has proposed that would be useful, but I'm not sure which elements I could go along with and which I couldn't. And, you know, it's just we almost need to do a flow chart to kind of look at this. You know, people elected this year would be affected this way. People affected that year would be affected that way. And so it just it takes more thought and consultation than we can do on tonight's call.
Okay, so a member has proposed the forming of a work group to consider this amendment.
Point of information, Carolyn.
Yes.
Here. Had you, Terry, consulted with other people, perhaps not on the committee, about the language and so on?
This language was reviewed by attorney Carol Spooner, who was representing the challengers of the earlier opinion by Mr. Siegel.
I was going to suggest that we ask anyone who has been consulted and who has any familiarity with the issue to be on this work group if it's going to be formed. I think it needs all the help it can get.
Okay. So, is there any objection to the forming of this work group?
What would the alternative be, please?
Probably the alternative would be to let the bylaws amendment go on as proposed.
Mm-hmm. Objection here, then?
Mr. Chair, isn't the other option to pass it now out of this committee?
Well, of course that's
without an option. Without the work group.
This is in effect a motion to refer to a work group, although we haven't figured out if we're going to empower the work group. I don't think we can. If the work group's decision, we would probably have to have a special meeting of the elections committee to endorse or reject its recommendation. On the idea, I mean, Mr. Letter is certainly accurate that it is complex. Is there any objection, as I said, to the forming of a work group?
I think we need to put a deadline on it. I wouldn't object if it had a very firm deadline within 5, perhaps 8 days to report back to the committee, to the elections committee.
Well, oh. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Didn't someone say that the National Board is going to vote on this on September 7th?
Yes.
Yep.
So if you were to have a work group work on it, you would want it something to come out of that work group before September 7th, right?
That is
right.
Correct.
Thank you.
This is Bob.
Go ahead.
Given that short time frame and given the fact that bylaws amendments not only do not have to come from a committee, but actually committees are not part of the process at all. They're welcome to weigh in and recommend that the board may want to consider this text or that text, but they have no official role. So given that, and given how busy, well, I'll just speak for myself. I know my schedule is really busy, and it's going to be hard enough to squeeze in one more meeting next week, let alone two. That I think we can dispense with the committee having to have an emergency meeting to ratify it. The work group can do whatever it does, and then the seven director sponsors are ultimately the ones who have to decide what to do with it. It's not, and of course the full PNB will decide, if the seven directors don't go along with certain language, certainly another director could make an amendment on the night of the vote on the 7th, and if the board rules that it's within the scope, it could be voted on. But the point is, the committee is not required to have a position on this. So while normally you'd prefer to come back to the full committee, I think we should just empower the work group to recommend what it wants to and recognize it won't have any binding force of any sort. It will just be representing those people and their wisdom, and then you know, the board will do as it sees fit.
Carolyn, on the stand?
Go ahead, Ms. Burden.
I would object to not having this committee review what if the work group comes, partly because I need someone to unravel some of it. I find this very complicated, and I would very much appreciate having some feedback and an opinion. So I think if the work group could agree to meet and come back perhaps to the committee on a quick teleconference on the 3rd or the 4th, at least to on this one issue, an emergency meeting just to deal with this one issue, I would appreciate that very much. I don't like not having this committee have something to say about a bylaws amendment regarding the elections issues, frankly.
I'm working on a compromise resolution. I'm not sure anyone else is. What I've got is motion to form a work group empowered to consult with the moving directors. To seek resolution of possible ambiguities in the proposed amendment, proposed bylaws amendment.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Let me mute myself then.
That would be lovely. I'm feeling left out.
Didn't work.
Now, Ms. Burden, do you have a particular date when we might have a special meeting to so that the work group can report its progress?
It's a holiday weekend, so Monday night might be a little dicey. The 4th Tuesday night, perhaps that would be suitable if we could limit it to maybe 30 or 60 minutes max.
I think it should be brief if
if we can get distribution by...
If we manage to contact the moving directors.
This is top.
Go ahead, Ms. Letter.
Okay, I don't know about anyone else, but I don't have any spare nights before Tuesday, so I was going to suggest that be the night that the working group meets. Seems to me that any committee member is totally welcome to participate in that discussion. And, you know, if the whole committee wanted to be present, that would be totally fine. So that's why, again, since the committee doesn't have any formal role in this anyway, I don't think it's necessary to require everyone on the committee to come regardless of, you know, what their schedule is and so on. They can just be part of that discussion itself. That way we're not bound by a quorum, you know, that we would be forced to adjourn if we didn't have eight people.
Well, if I may...
Go ahead.
The work group might have to work by email, passing drafts back and forth, and then come back to this group after a meeting on Tuesday, if that is your first free night. So maybe the work group then would finish up its deliberations in a teleconference, and then we would come on for the second half hour or hour. But I just on principle, I don't like the board election committee being excluded or excluding itself for convenience from such an important topic. I would like to understand it better than I do is what I'm saying, and I'm counting on the work group to be able to make it easier for me to do that.